Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the two words that say start here in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. That book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 19 years now to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself, the simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files or shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those, they can serve as a tutorial for you to help you get maximum benefit from these tools in the shortest amount of time possible. We help people do all of that soon and often, primarily because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they actively apply these tools in their lives, and secondarily because it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It also contains an abbreviated version of the worksheet process, and it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also give us a call at 563-999-3581 and ask a question or make a comment or give a testimonial. Or if you're of a mind to share but you don't have access to call or don't want to call live, you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And if we get a comment or a question from you, we'll address it on the internet show, and then as time allows, send you a notification about what day and time that occurred so that you can listen back to the archives for your comment or feedback. And we greatly appreciate any time anybody shares with us, whether it's calling in live or emailing, because it just makes it infinitely easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention we have with this work is to be of service, and that's just infinitely easier to do when people let us know how these things are landing for them and what is of most benefit. So we have somebody who already has a hand up, area code 808. You're in the air. Who do we have? How can we support you?
Aloha, Tim. It's Jamuna. How are you?
I'm doing well. Long time no hear from you.
Okay. Well, I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. But, you know, I wanted to go through maybe a worksheet or a process with you about what seems to be, I know I've done this before, it's a different neighbor, but a neighbor that seems to be mad at me, like, almost like unnecessarily, like, angry at me. And I don't know, it's bringing up a lot of anxiety in me, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of, like, what did I do wrong? And I think it would be helpful.
Well, that's the kind of thing that the worksheets are most useful for, so that sounds like a good idea. What's the, where do you want to begin?
Let's see. I need to find the right worksheet. Where's the worksheet? I guess, why is my neighbor mad at me? And it seems like they don't want to forgive me. Is that I don't know.
Well, so I have a worksheet here that is a seven-step worksheet that is from 2017. And it says, in this case, we'd put your name in it, I, Jamuna. And what's the emotion that you're feeling when you have the thought that my neighbor is angry at me and doesn't want to forgive me? What emotion are you generating for this worksheet process?
I feel like anxiety. Like anxiety. But.
Okay. And what's the thought that you're using to generate the anxiety?
You know, kind of like, why are they purposely being mean to me?
So what are you afraid is going to happen if this doesn't get resolved or if they continue to be angry at you?
I guess there's always going to be conflict.
Okay. So are you using a thought like, I'm not safe?
No.
Okay. What is the thought you're using?
Okay. More like victim, like, why is this happening to me? Why can't...
All right, but a question like that would generate confusion, right? If I just keep sitting asking, why is this happening, I would generate the emotion of confusion. You're saying you're generating anxiety or fear. What's the anxiety or fear about? What thought are you using to generate anxiety or fear? What's the negative consequence that you think... or the negative eventuality that's going to happen if the situation goes unresolved?
That's a good one. I guess I just feel like I'm not good enough. I'm never going to live up. I made a mistake, and it's not forgivable. Or
okay, and so what's the negative consequence that's going to happen if you're never forgiven, if you never make it up?
I'll always be seen as something I'm not. I don't know. There's part of me that wants to be like, wants them to see my point of view, or wants them to, you know, I want to be right. I'm going to be honest there. Like, and it's like, why do they keep on choosing to be mad? does that answer your question? I don't know.
Well, you're getting there, right? So,
okay.
What are you afraid is going to happen if they stay mad? Because right now they're mad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, they're not.
Nothing horrible is happening, right? You're safe,
no,
you're alive, you're
happening.
Here on the phone. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he's had said some things that aren't true to me, about me, but, you know, in a way I feel like they're just, I don't know, trying to be mean, like, I don't know.
Okay, so I'm trying to help you figure out what you're using to generate anxiety, what thought you're using to generate anxiety or fear. Because when we're generating anxiety or fear, somehow we're creating a belief that we're not safe.
Maybe anxiety is not the right word. All I know is that I feel just a lot of like emotion in my heart, like anxiety, like as if you had too much caffeine, like that kind of feeling. Or I just feel like what is wrong with me? Like why? Like, I'm not sure if that.
Okay, so historically, what has happened in your life when someone has stayed mad at you?
Nothing really.
They
just
do they attack
mad.
You?
They
do they beat
stay...
you up? Do they isolate from you? Do you end up isolated and lonely?
Well, what happened in the past is this was a family member that, you know, used it to spread lies about me, like to make it seem like I'm this horrible person, you know.
And the result of them spreading lies about you was what?
My family members joined in on it.
And they believed the lie?
Yeah, they believed it, you know. They pretty much judged me and...
And then when
you know,
they believed the lie and they judged you, what did they do? Did they attack you or did they isolate from you?
Isolate, like block me from Facebook or, you know, isolate.
Okay, so the fear is probably around the idea that you're going to get isolated.
Okay.
So the thought that you're probably using to generate the anxiety is... This isn't going to go well. I'm going to get isolated. I'm going to be alone. Does that make sense? Does that resonate?
Yeah, it does in a way. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the thought you're using to generate anxiety is, I'm going to be isolated and alone, right? If you might have the full thought that if people believe my neighbor's lies, I'm going to be left with no friends. If you have that thought, do you generate anxiety?
That or also my resident manager might believe something about me and want to kick me out. Who knows?
All right, so if people believe these lies, I'm writing, so that's why I'm pausing. If people believe these lies, I may end up alone and homeless.
Yeah, that, but then also there's this deep thing, like, what is wrong with me? Like, why?
All right, that's another worksheet. That's another worksheet.
Okay.
Right? And you can make a note of that because it just came up. So on another sheet of paper or on the back of this one, I'd... But again, when you have a question like, what is wrong with me, or I can't figure this out, the emotion that that's going to generate is confusion, not anxiety or anger.
Maybe I am confused.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That would be a different worksheet.
Okay.
And that's fine, but that's not this worksheet. So let's stick to this one.
Okay.
So now we have, I, Jamuna, who am love, am experiencing the energy of, or the emotion of, anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to remind myself in the worksheet that hostility and fear come from internal corrupt data, and they indicate my mind's use of sustained incoherence, which means my mind engages a process that creates my pain and then thinks it's going to get out of its pain by doing the same thing over and over again, trying to think its way through this.
Yeah.
And my denial, you know, my denial is that I think I'm not causing this, my neighbor is. That's what my denial is, that I'm the denial about how I'm the one creating my own emotions. And that process of denial replaces my experience of myself directly as being love and loving, and tells me the lie that someone or something outside of me is creating my upset. In this case, it's your neighbor being angry about you and telling lies or telling things that aren't true.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And so your upset level, how strong would you say your anxiety is to begin this worksheet?
10. 10. Yeah.
Okay, pretty strong. We'll put a 10 on there. And then the truth is, only my thoughts cause my emotional upset. So I take a nice centering, calming breath, and I wrote in here that the thought I'm using to create my own emotion of anxiety is, if people believe these lies, I may end up alone and homeless.
Okay.
And so then the next question on the worksheet is, are you aware of punishment thoughts for this neighbor?
Hmm. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Right. What are your punishment thoughts for your neighbor?
He's an asshole.
Right. So your punishment thoughts are to call him names, right?
Yeah.
You want to yell at him and call him names?
Or, you know, think bad things, but I've been trying not to.
Okay, but for the purpose of this worksheet, we just want to be as honest as we can about what our punishment thoughts are. And do you have punishment thoughts for yourself?
I guess so, because, like, I think, you know, why did I even help him? He's mean. Like, what's wrong with me? Why did I need to make this mistake or something? Those kind of thoughts.
Okay, so the punishment thought is, it's my fault. Right?
Yeah.
I never should have helped, et cetera. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. That's the, yeah.
So then the worksheet says, remember that if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. And the worksheet also says, if they're the one with the problem, why am I the one with the pain? So as I remind myself of those two things and take a breath, then we move down to step number 2, which says, I choose to honor truth and willingly face and process out all of the dis-ease producing energies for and from all of my relations and all of the generations. And I willingly go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So if you have a worksheet you're working through, put a check mark in those boxes and take a nice calming breath for each one of those. And then it says, I'm going to release and surrender myself, my emotion of anxiety, my neighbor, my story that they are telling lies about me, my punishment thoughts, and my thought that if people believe these lies, I may end up alone and homeless. Take a breath. If you have a worksheet there, put your initials in that little box. And then step 3 says, my desire, the constructive result, the exact goal that drives my pain perception is that what? What's the goal that if it could magically happen here would make this worksheet completely unnecessary?
That he would start talking to me again and forgive me.
All right. And earlier you said something about you being right and having him believe you.
Mm.
Is that important to put in here?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, you're right.
All right. So your desire is for him to believe you?
Yeah. To believe me.
And start talking to you.
Yeah. And then maybe also like squashing the whole thing, you know.
Well, then it would be and admit the truth.
Okay.
Right? If he's been, if he or she's been spreading lies, you want them to admit the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if this were to happen, if this person were to turn around and start to believe you and start talking to you and admit the truth, would that take care of this worksheet? Would it dismantle the energies you're using to create your upset and anxiety?
I would say so.
Okay. So that means you've got a good goal there. So then there's a little thing on the side that says, I cancel my need to be right, and I cancel my need to make up another story out of these brain cells or what's happened and what I've believed about what's happened, so that I can hallucinate the proof that my fear and my hostility-based story, my reality, is true. I'm going to cancel my need to be right and cancel my need to make up another story to prove I'm right and to prove that what I'm generating as a fearful reality is true. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. And then step four says, I choose to be aware of my essence as love. And when I do, that stirs the love in everyone involved. And in step four, we ask people to go into a little meditation, breathe comfortably. I suggest that people put their hand over their heart space. And just think about the most loving, safe, happy, connected memory from any time in your life, and breathe into it. It can be from the recent or distant past. And just breathe into it until you feel a shift in your energy away from this anxiety and all of the thoughts and energies around the neighbor and the upset. Breathe into safe, happy, joyful memories until you feel your energy shift. And when that happens, take a nice deep cleansing breath and let it all go and tell me that you've had a shift in your energy so we can move on.
Okay.
Have you got it? Have you had a shift? Are you feeling that loving energy, that safe, happy, contented energy?
Yeah.
All right, so we move on to number five, which is when I'm upset, my perception is built out of corrupt data. It's driven by my goal in number three. In this case, my goal for this person to believe me and start talking to me and admit the truth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that goal creates a picture in my mind that's a limiting picture created from a maximum of 9 bits of data during the period of time that there's probably 10,000 brain cells firing. And in that same period of time, there's probably 20 trillion bits of data hitting my senses. So it's a really limiting picture. It's very limited and limiting. So I'm going to choose to collapse my mind's lies, right? By holding love conscious, active, and present, and canceling my goal for this person to believe me. I'm writing it in here in number 5A. Believe me, talk to me, and admit the truth. And if you write that in your worksheet on that line where it says to cancel, and then take a breath. And then 5B says, I want to invite something other than my conscious logical mind to assist me here. So who do you want to, who or what do you want to invite to assist you to process this out?
Ruka Dekusha.
All right, so you're going to invite Ruka.
Yeah.
To incline you towards healing, to restore you to your awareness of your newborn essence as love, to heal your denial, and heal your capacity to generate the emotion of anxiety, and ask it to help you open a direct conscious relationship with and gently remove whatever's been denied and dissociated. And those projected parts of your carbon-based memory. And now we ask people to do another meditation. We ask people to close their eyes, put the pen down, put your hand over your heart space if you like to do that, and just gently, silently inside your own mind, repeat what I'm going to say out loud. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf for now, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating this upset. And then you just want to be breathing and softening, putting yourself in the most open, allowing space you can, and gently repeat, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel the goal in this worksheet, and I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating my tension and upset. And then just breathe and soften and trust that anything that comes into your awareness is going to be part of what you need to see to begin to heal here and move forward. It's all old stuff. If it's showing up in your brain right now, it's just nerves firing in your brain. It's not happening anywhere except in your mind right now. It's an echo. It's a memory. It's safe for you to study it up close as it washes over you. So you can remember sights, sounds, smells. If a time comes to you, a memory comes to you from an earlier time in your life, go with it and notice. Where are you? How old are you? Who else is there and what's happening? And just breathe and soften as you gently repeat, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. And I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating anxiety in this situation. And stay with that. Breathing, softening, until one of three things happens. Either you get a deep insight, or you notice that the energy of anxiety just shifts and fades away, or you realize that your mind is just going to spin and go nowhere right now. And when one of those three things happens, take a nice, deep, cleansing breath, slowly let it all go, and then scan your body and notice, what's the strongest emotion or the strongest physical sensation that you're aware of right now? And that's what you would write on 6A.
Okay. My heart. Yes.
What are you feeling in your heart?
Panic. Like almost like, you know, when you have like a closed heart, like it wants to close. Like it feels like it resistant.
So that's what I would write in 6A, a panic, a feeling in my heart.
Okay.
And then, is that as much of an emotion as it is a physical sensation, or is it more a physical sensation?
More physical sensation.
Okay. And what emotion would you say goes with that?
Sadness, grief.
Okay. I would also make a note of that. So breathe and soften, and you're aware of this feeling in your heart and sadness and grief. And did you get an image? Did you have some memory of a previous time in your life?
Yeah, two. Very, very strongly, very quickly.
Okay, what were those?
Yeah.
Just briefly, just to give us a tag for it.
Okay, when I was drunk one time, I punched an ex-boyfriend, and then when a friend in high school just turned on me out of nowhere and kind of like betrayed me.
So how old were you in the situation where you got drunk and punched a boyfriend?
I was, 39?
And how old was the situation where the friend turned on you? Was that high school, you said?
Yeah, high school, so 17. Yeah.
And what did the friend do?
She just, said, I pretty much just used you, and, just said, you know, I just used you, and then just stopped talking to me.
Okay. So I would make notes about both of those. I would flip the page over if you have blank on the other side and make as many notes as you can about the details. What was happening around the time when you were 39 and you got drunk and punched a boyfriend? What was happening? Who else was around or who was aware that this friend turned on you in high school? Just whatever memories you can generate, because it's up right now. It's in your awareness, and there's been a reason, an emotionally based reason, for your mind to hide this from you for a lot of years. And there's a reason it's coming up right now. So just make as many notes as you can about any sights, sounds, smells, other people associated with it, other actions or activities around that time, so they don't fly away as soon as you move on to a different set of thoughts.
Okay.
And whenever you're done making those notes, let me know and we'll move on with the worksheet.
Okay.
Are you done?
No. I'm still... No, just give me one moment.
We have plenty of time. Take your time and just make sure that you get the notes down while it's still available.
Okay.
Keep your breath moving as you're making these notes. And again, the reason for making the notes is to just put it on paper so it can't fly out of your awareness as easily. And let me know when you're ready to move on.
Okay.
Are those sounds of you breathing or holding your breath?
Breathing.
Okay. Do you have enough written so you can remember this?
Yes.
Okay. So then the next point is 6C. It says, I ask to be shown a time when I have not fulfilled living up to the goal that I have for my neighbor right now. So you ask to be shown a time when you haven't believed somebody, when you've cut them off and wouldn't talk to them, or when you had trouble admitting the truth. And maybe when you ask that and you ask Spirit to make you aware of that, maybe a time or two pops into your mind and you can make notes of it here. Maybe, as often happens with me when I do these worksheets, I just write, I ask Spirit to show me times when I have violated this goal. And you can, you know, make a note for yourself. If any time pops into your mind where you weren't such a good friend, or you cut somebody off, or you wouldn't believe them.
This is great stuff.
And if those notes or those memories come to mind, you can put their initials on that line, or you can flip the page over and make some notes about it, because those would be additional good worksheets to do.
Yeah.
If you're still carrying any kind of upset about those times in the past where you did not live up to that goal that you have for your neighbor in this worksheet. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last part of the worksheet, two parts here. One of them says, I commit to love, to living a human life. And so to do that and help achieve it, I'm going to do a mass canceling of all the times I've ever wanted anybody to believe me and start talking to me and admit that they were wrong or admit the truth. So take one of those nice, deep, comforting, calming breaths and say that. I commit to love, I commit to living a human life, and to help achieve that, I'm going to do a mass canceling of all the times I've ever wanted this goal from somebody in my life. And just breathe and soften and notice what energy flows for you.
I felt calm, like calm
okay.
Feeling.
Okay, and now step 7, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. So I'm going to practice gratitude. I'm going to say that I'm grateful for this opportunity to heal. I'm going to choose to love truth, honor truth in this situation. I'm going to choose perfect love, and I'm going to structure a loving goal that something I will do to put me in a more loving state based on this interaction. And I would recommend that to really move this forward, you do two different worksheets, one on the incident of the boyfriend and one on the incident of the high school friend that turned on you.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm writing this down. Yeah.
The boyfriend that you punched and that situation where the high school friend turned on you.
Yeah. Okay.
And then put a check mark in that box and take another breath and scan your body and notice, how are you feeling now? How is the anxiety right now that you started this worksheet with that was at 10 out of 10?
It's like
how high would you rate? Okay, it's down to a 2. And then you get to decide whether you want to put a check mark in the box that says that was a successful worksheet.
I would say so.
All right. So then we're wide open for questions or comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess if anyone has a comment, I don't know.
Well, but I mean from you first. Do you have any questions
or comments from me,
or you want to make a comment about what this was like for you to step through this worksheet?
Well, one thing I would like to share is that it's just amazing how much the subconscious is so powerful and how it hides these things. And, you know, when, you know, like when Yeshua says, you know, when you're upset, what is it? I'm never upset for the reason I think. It's always something else.
Yeah, that's from the Course in Miracles.
I'm definitely going to work on these worksheets. This is definitely something that needs to really. I said I'm going to call Dr. Tim today. I'm going to work through this. I'm going to, you know, because the temptation is to get down to their level, even though we're all equal sons of God or, you know, siblings. But then I'm like, no, I'm going to use this because there's something I need to heal. This isn't about my neighbor. It's about me. And I guess another thing is like, I guess, how would you, if someone's angry at you, a brother or sister, if you will, and do you just have compassion for them? You know, like, how do you have compassion for them?
Well, one of the things I use most often is this system of observation, right? So rather than believing one thing or another, I find it far more useful in my life to live from observation. So to be actively observing in the moment and observing as much as I can. And one of the things that I observe is that if there's anger coming out of me, it means there's pain, fear, or sadness in me that I don't either feel capable or willing to deal with internally.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm sitting here in my office feeling just so fortunate, it's a climate-controlled office, it's got beautiful pictures on the walls, I've got, you know, this loving person, Jamuna, calling and working through a worksheet, and what a wonderful space in my life and my career to be in right now. If I'm sitting here with those thoughts and energies in me, it's not possible for anger or insult or swear words to come out of me, right? Because they're not in me. And so we observe over and over again that whatever comes out of my mouth is always and forever going to tell people more about what's going on inside me than it's ever going to tell anybody about the world around me. And if there's any kind of anger or irritation coming out of me, it means there's a pain, fear, or sadness in me that I don't feel capable or willing to deal with directly.
Mm.
So that's an observation I can apply to myself and I can apply to everybody in my world. And if I'm willing to apply that observation and I have somebody coming at me, and they're in anger or they're in name-calling or they're in swearing, I can just observe, oh, they must have pain, fear, or sadness running in them that they either feel incapable of or unwilling to process internally. And if I do that in my observation, it's a simple step to compassion.
Okay.
Another thing I use is one of the bottom line observations is in number four says, I can only control and be responsible for my own emotions and reactions. I cannot control or be responsible for the emotions and reactions of anybody else, no matter how hard I try. And that's just an observation we make. It's part of the 10 bottom line observations. Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense. But I just knew that there's something going, I needed to look at, because I have obviously hostility and stuff going on inside me. So
right.
I have
but now,
to heal.
Now stick with me as we make this observation. That since I can only control and be responsible for my own emotions and reactions, and I can't control or be responsible for the emotions and reactions of anybody else, no matter how hard I try. What that means is no one's ever made me angry. No one's ever made me feel sad, scared, hurt, frustrated, or upset or offended in any way. And most people say, oh, no, that's not true. This guy's really making me angry. So then we come back to the observation again. And eventually we start to realize it is true that every human being creates their emotions internally by the interpretation they choose and place on whatever their senses are telling them about the flow of outside events. And so in that process, if I work to become actively observing that moment to moment, I wake up one day and realize, oh my gosh, I really am creating all of my own emotions. And there's a great liberty that comes with that. If I continue to make those observations, if I continue to do that work, I wake up one day in the not too distant future and I have a deeper realization, oh my gosh, I have never made anybody else angry or scared or hurt or offended. And that is a new level of liberty. And that frees me up to just send compassionate feelings and heartfelt blessings to the person who's coming at me with anger or with blame or name-calling. And so I can respond, I can choose the response that is a loving response, even in the face of this intense, unpleasant energy coming at me from someone else.
Does that
answer that kind of a question you had?
Yeah, definitely.
About
definitely,
somebody else having anger towards you?
Yes, it definitely does. I know, like, he also said, I'm too sensitive or something. And I'm, like, thinking in the back of my head, what does that mean? You're a total, at least that's, but I know that that's just his own incapability of his own stuff he needs to look at, I guess.
Well, it's judgment coming from another person, right? And in the way of mastery, in the third lesson, it reminds us that every time we judge, the very cellular structure in our body stops working properly. And it says to us, if we understood what happens every time we judge or we believe our perception that's resulting in tightness or tension or upset, then we would never judge again. So if someone is judging you one of the best things to do is breathe and soften and tap into times you have judged in the past and generate, open up some compassion within yourself, sensitivity in yourself for the fact that this brother or sister who's judging you is just doing something you've done many, many times, and it's coming from their pain, fear, and sadness. And so you can respond by extending your awareness of your true nature and their true nature and your loving energy in their direction.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to busy yourself with thoughts about who's right here, who's wrong here, what do I need to do to get this person to change? You can just move into compassion.
Yeah.
And then the energy that you're adding to the interaction between you and that person is entirely different. It's calm, it's centered, it's connected, it's compassionate. And the situation is bound to work out differently when that's the energy you're adding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm just absorbing into my being. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other comments or questions, or do you want to open it up to any comments from anybody on the call?
Well, I have one more, comment or question, and it's this. Let's say if I did something like, because the neighbor might be actually really mad at me for doing something that I shouldn't have done. And now I feel guilty. How do I...
Okay. Okay, so here's the way we would talk about that with good regulatory speech. The neighbor might be generating a lot of anger for his or her interpretation of something I actually did that I regret now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see, do you hear the difference in those two statements?
Yeah. Yeah.
The neighbor is not angry at you for something you did. The neighbor isn't having his or her anger caused by you any more than you're having your fear or deep sadness caused by someone or something outside of you.
Okay. Writing this down.
Does that make sense? Okay. So we would start there. And then Dr. Michael Rice has a whole series of things he talks about here where he says, look, instead of saying I'm sorry, which is, you know, making a statement that says I'm a sorry being and I'm less than true love expressing in form, let's talk about acknowledging what I did that I now can say, you know, I would do it differently. If I were doing it today, I recognize that this was not coming from a space of love. This was coming from error on my part or whatever. And so I want to apologize and I want to tell you what I'm going to do to try and ensure that this doesn't happen again. Now I can do that. I can extend that loving response to a person and they can still choose to generate bitterness and resentment and anger. Their emotions are not up to me. But I can say, I can go to someone that's been around or experienced me doing something that now as I look back on it, I say, you know what, I could have handled that better. I wish I had done this or that. And I can go to them and I can admit that I did this and that I see it as inappropriate. And I can apologize to them, and I can tell them, and, you know, whether you extend a pardon to me or not, I just want you to know that I recognize I did this, I don't like that I did this, and in the future, I'm going to do this, this, or this to try and ensure this doesn't happen again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And sometimes when I do that, people line up and say, wow, that's great. Thanks for admitting this, and thanks for being willing to work to make it different. And I'm glad to know you. I'm glad we're still friends. Or let's reinstitute a friendship if we had a disruption or if we've been estranged. And sometimes people are going to say, I don't care if you admit it or not. You're a jerk. You never should have done this. I don't want anything to do with you. And I have to let that be because I don't have control over their choices any more than I have control over their emotions, any more than they have control over my choices or emotions.
Yeah.
I tell people that use the process of forgiveness soon and often and pardon people soon and often. However, if someone's done something that you feel is significantly unpleasant or abusive to you, then it doesn't make any sense for you to trust that they won't do it again unless they've done four things. And those four things are, number one, they admit that what they did was wrong. Number two, they apologize in a way that you feel is sincere. Number three, they make amends in whatever way possible. And number four, they make concrete changes in their life to try and ensure that this doesn't happen again. Now, if someone has done something that I consider to be seriously wrong, and they haven't done all four of those things, I can still choose to trust them again. I can still choose to say, I pardon you for this. I can still choose to dismantle any negative emotional state or any perception I have that would help me generate negative emotional states in that process of forgiveness. But it doesn't make any sense for me to trust that they're not going to do this again. I can trust them. I can say, okay, you know, I'll get in another business deal with you, or I'll go to some more, you know, plan some more dinners out with you or whatever, or go to parties where you're going to be there, even though you did this horrific thing. I can do that because the trust that I give people is mine to give or withhold. It's like a gift. Just like pardoning is a gift I can give or withhold. And yet, to my mind, it doesn't make any logical sense for me to trust somebody won't do something again unless they've done all four of those things, admitted with me, agreed with me that what they did was off the mark. Number two, apologized in a way that I feel is sincere. Number three, made amends in whatever way possible. If they broke my lamp, they pay for a new lamp or to get it repaired. If they insulted me in public, they make a public apology, etc. And number four, they make concrete changes in their life to try and ensure that this pattern or behavior doesn't happen again. And so you can use that model to structure your own communications to people where you want to go back and admit that your behavior was off the mark and you're apologizing and you're trying to make amends so it doesn't happen again. Does that make sense?
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call and for being willing to work through that worksheet. I will mute you so you can listen to the second hour if you so choose. I greatly appreciate the call and your willingness to share. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I'm going to put that one in the special shows. That was excellent. Thank you, Jamuna.
Well, you're very welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, July the 2nd, 2024. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael just a moment to dial in. And he has a caller that's supposed to call in and have a discussion with us. So hopefully we'll hear from him very shortly. And Michael will get in. Oh, there's Michael. So I'm going to say welcome, Michael. And Patrick's not on quite yet.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. Honored. And looking forward to seeing what unfolds today. Some of you have previously met, maybe in person at intensives at Heartland or workshops in Florida or Birmingham or Atlanta or many different places. A gentleman named Patrick McGann, who was actually one of my first contacts in the healing world when I first went back to naturopathic school and moved to Atlanta. So Patrick and I have known each other for 50 years. He's a fellow naturopath. And when I was in Florida back a few weeks ago, I did the quantum still point process with him. And we've been kind of bouncing back and forth and back and forth in that conversation. Actually, the people who I have done the process with, I've been communicating with and looking to put the process into an understandable format, something that explains some of what's going on, builds the brain cells to prep people for the process, and or opens people to be able to engage in some of the dynamics of the new 3-day one-on-one personal intensive called Quantum Still Point, Into Being Quantum Still Point. So Patrick and I had a conversation. Actually, he's been working with me in developing. You know, he's a body worker. He was my first massage therapist. One of the stories you probably heard me talk about, Patrick, he's a master at aligning the form. And this goes back probably 20 years ago. I was doing a series of workshops in the Tampa Bay area. And Patrick does a process of whole body alignment. And he did a session with me of this whole body alignment. And, I mean, he's a master at it. And that evening, I was speaking. I was doing a workshop there in Florida. And the presentation that I did was the easiest, the most powerful, the clearest my mind had ever been in terms of my ability to grasp information, my ability to put it together, this physiological alignment process that he does. So it would be interesting because I had shared the latest rendition of the description of Quantum Still Point with Patrick just yesterday, and it had been the second time in just a few days that I shared it with him, and for the second time he went into such a deep process that it just kind of went unconscious. And so when I shared it with him and he went out again, our next conversation was, okay, so it puts you into process, and you know, one thing led to another, and he said, well, we ended up conversing about calling to the show and sharing a little bit about his experience, pardon me, and then going through the definition again, one, to see what impact it has on him now, and two, so that it's available recorded. I have shared some bits and pieces of it over the last several weeks, but I've come to a new level of putting it together, and so when Patrick arrives, we'll step into that conversation. Is he there, Jeannie?
He is. I turned on his mic, but there was noise in the background, so I muted it. All right, Patrick,
awesome.
Welcome.
Okay.
Hey there, Patrick McGann. How do you be, sir? I just gave a little introduction to our earlier conversation and where we're going to head today. So,
yeah, I heard the introduction.
How do you be?
And I am good. I'm really good. I'm having a good life. Not
did
always
the introduction
easy.
Capture everything
so
you want to share?
Yeah. First thing I want to make sure about that the work we did was understood and how it parallels with yours, and then go into yours. So mine will be really brief. What we did was, I want to make sure, that was centerline balancing where we did just
right.
movements and alignment that were very gentle, nothing strong, strenuous, or any deep body work in it, right?
Yeah,
the
that was
we did
the
when
subtlest.
You were able to speak well? Okay,
subtlest
more
work,
subtle.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that alignment experience stands out in my memory bank as putting my mind into one of the clearest spaces I'd ever been in. So thank you for that.
And I thank you for the same thing. And this is my perspective. If anybody wants that, I'd be glad to teach that, and I'll be putting that together for some things online. But the basics that are the same is effortlessness and letting go of what doesn't belong, forgiveness. It's a non, this particular thing I was doing is non-force. So it's just about moving back and forth very gently, warily across joint centers and releasing the stress that's pulling one way or the other due to negative emotions or survival emotions or the emotions of the separated human being. So once it's achieved, the input from the universe, from your soul, et cetera, is just phenomenal. You know, it's like you don't have to effort anything. Everything just comes through, and it's beautiful. But whatever, either in that or body work or anything that's not complete on a mental, emotional level of belief systems and unforgiven things will bring back physical form to change. So, we get to achieve, we get a big burst when you do a session like that. And if you do it, you know, every day when you work on the computer, it's a phenomenal thing. And it's really good. But definitely the forgiveness work is maximal to not having to repeat patterns and have pain physiologically, et cetera, et cetera. So then what happened for me was over the past, oh, yeah, by the way, that class I taught it at a physical unit for accidents and injuries, and I was told I couldn't teach anymore because people got well too fast. So I split off and did my own practice. So now we come that I do about 40 years of going through being a human. There's my belief systems that are survival-oriented and separative, et cetera. And I loaded up enough to where my own process was not as easy for me to achieve because my body took on and suppressed more and more energies that I didn't want to feel or I didn't have time to resolve or believed I didn't anyway. So I ended up a little stiffer, a little harder to release the defensive mechanism. They were pulling me out of alignment. And then I got the great opportunity to do the still point with Michael. Still point's always been phenomenal. But this was beyond phenomenal. So
yeah, the quantum still point takes it to a whole other level for sure.
Yeah. So doing still, I mean, I can't. I'm just going to go over the results after 3 days. So I love the results. But at the completion, I had been knowing.
It sounds like you're moving away from your phone a little bit, Patrick.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Good. Yep.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes, sir.
I was moving from room to room. I had my hand over the mic area, I think. So now I'm settled in. So the hardest part was I emotionally suppressed. Each of us has a different way. One of my ways was programmed in was to overeat and to eat more than what I needed. So I gained weight and had this nice tummy that pulled me forward and down and would pull the lumbar forward. So I ended up with, three bulging discs and one torn. And I was told about 5 or 6 years ago, you need surgery immediately. And I said, no way, I'm going to fix this myself, right? So we had a little argument. And I've been getting better and better and better. But the biggest thing was I needed to untilt the pelvis and put it as a foundation underneath. And I don't know if you have the language, but the sacrum in between the two hemispheres of the pelvis called iliums. That sacrum is sacred, but the top of it is the base for everything, you know, like people that can speak about this, that, the other, the antenna, the kundalini, whatever. But if that base, that foundation's off, everything above's got to be off. Vice versa, the atlas holds up your world, so your atlas is the other base that to me is extremely important. Three different types of chiropractic work just with that. And everything, once that changes, that relationship of the cranium to the atlas, everything below changes. And that's the area where Michael's working more up in that area. And everything we're holding, we hold anywhere and everywhere in our body, but every negative emotion pulls the body. I call it emotional posturing, and I work with, what's that called? Ergonomic posturing or least effort posturing. So emotional posturing, if you inhibit emotions, you still just tighten up. You may not look like it, but you're a tighter person inhibiting more emotion so you can deal with it. So I do this process with Michael on the last day, at the last moment. I mean, I was just loving it to begin with. And then I didn't, and then I did because the breakthrough
was... You're
talking
about the quantum still point now?
Yeah, it's quantum still point.
Okay.
Quantum still point.
Right.
I loved it all the way through. Okay. I'm sorry that that's the way my mind works, all over the place. So all the way through, and then at the last, it was a major breakthrough, building, and the major breakthrough was that my awareness as a child was a lot more than what I can handle at the time, but it was, I was aware of anything and anybody and what was going on in their house in the neighborhood, and I had a lot of awareness, but I couldn't handle it. So I shut a lot of it off and then to handle it, and then I learned a lot. So after, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later, I've got a lot of wisdom, but my body was jammed up, and I couldn't line my antenna up very easily anymore. It was good, but not the way I wanted it. But at the very end, all of a sudden, I gained the awareness that I had as a child, all of it. But it was easier to look at everything. So I could look and see into everybody and everything so much easier, but now without judgment or a lot less judgment, or easier to peel back those judgments, be they positive or negative. Whatever needs to be let go of is easy to let go of now. That's the number one, awareness. Awareness the same as when I was a child, but with my added wisdom of what to do with that awareness. Then my internal awareness, I had been working on that since I met you in Atlanta, was when I started on internal awareness. And it had been building and building, but I couldn't hold on to it enough to make enough changes to maintain non-pelvic tilt during the daytime. We all go unconscious when we're working to some degree. Hopefully we'll all go totally conscious someday, but it's really hard to get into work mode and for most of us, and go and be present and be aware. That's my goal, but wasn't there. And all of a sudden it was there. Pelvis, I was able to roll it under very gently, very lightly, and get the balance. And then we thought that was a major change. So the awareness was the major change. And being able to do that so subtly, quickly, and easily was second change. Third change was I could do that with my head, my atlas, my spine, the other areas of my body. All that awareness was easier to maintain, easier to release any aberrant or not great pattern. So my projection, my reality right now on posturing is that we have, and when we're aligned, when our body's aligned more towards the perfection of beingness and love and what we really are, who we really are, then that's what we put out, that's what we get in, that's our experience. And then every negative belief system or unforgiven trauma survival mechanism that we have, that we believe in, we keep repeating. And so now I'm able, every time any pull comes off, whatever, I can observe myself phenomenally more so. I can be present phenomenally more so. Aware of myself internally, aware of others and what's going on for them and where they're at. So my work with myself and my work on anything I'm doing has improved, I'd say, vastly. At least, you know, if I was at 75%, now I'm at 125% of what I can do for myself. No, no, I can't argue with it at all. So I'm very excited. Now the next, so that was me, and I'm having a great time with it, and nothing disappeared. Everything, I'm more aware and more, you know, learning more quickly. More breakthroughs have come from it and my progress. And then Michael wanted to share with me. Now, for me, I was thinking in advertising and his work, what do you do? Well, you had a headline and then you're short, brief, and to the point. And Michael was being anything but that. He's doing this long page after page, you know, and I didn't know what it was. It's like poetry. It's like prose. It's like almost like a mini novel. But he's reading it to me, and I've eaten it. I'm in a parking lot, and I got my what we call Florida air conditioner. I'm in the shade of a tree, so I'm not going to burn up. And next thing I know, I pass out right at the end, close to the end. I kept getting better, more relaxed, more subtle. And all of a sudden, and breathing smoothly, and then I'm gone. And I'm gone into a really nice space, very similar to part, not the super awareness, but the let go of the whole process we did. So then,
returning to the quantum still point.
Yeah, that's my belief. Yeah. And so to me, we did the same thing yesterday. I'm laying in bed, and Michael starts yelling over the phone, "Patrick, where are you, Patrick?" Oh, yeah, I'm gone again. And then we had a discussion, and this is my view, my projection, that energy that Michael does this with is the energy as close as possible of the still point, and it holds the still point, the quantum still point. And it, for me, two questions. One, is this the effect for me because I remember it, so it brings it all back? But I don't think so. I think additionally for anyone, and we could do an experiment I'd like to do today, and that would be for Michael to read it and then all of us just to maybe lay down and relax and listen and see what happens. And then we could report what happened for us at the end, and then we'll know what the effect is of just transmitting the energy on a verbal and a, well, past verbal, his voice tones, his love, the signature of the love that he's bringing through. I think it's pretty phenomenal, so I'd love to do that if anybody's up for it.
Sure, I'm up for it, and my take would be that the fact that you went into that, you know, we've physically done, mentally, emotionally done the quantum still point, that it's easier for you to return to that aligned space, which puts you right back into process and, you know, taking it to the next level. So that would be my take. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see with the fact that that's happened for you the last couple of days, and we'll see what happens. I will read it now, but we'll see what happens and see what happens with, you know, you were talking about that change, that upgrade in awareness that you got out of the session, and the change in the tilt of your pelvis. And if I remember correctly, I think you'd shared with me previously that you'd worked on getting that, being an expert in aligning the form and centerline balancing, that pelvis change was one you'd worked on for about 3 years, and just bang, in an instant, it shifted.
Actually,
and that would, to me, would be as a result of realignment.
Years, I've worked on it for a lot longer.
Say again?
I'd say focused work for the last 3 years without a lot of breakthrough. You know, progressive and back and forth and fight. It's been like a little fight for 3 years where I really focused on it. And now it's just a breakthrough. And also the threat, there was a problem created by, anyway, the thoracic, I didn't even know that that was a reciprocal problem, but I realized it after the work, and I was able to identify what was going on in the with the sternum and the et cetera. The base for the cranium to balance on the atlas, you got to have a base in the neck, and that means that the rib cage and the thoracic cannot be rolled down and forward, which is usually to do with negative emotions of anger or depression or just not feeling great about yourself. So mine was a lot built by being a swimmer and by pushing a lawnmower and then by doing body work down and forward. And I needed to, didn't know it, but I needed to slightly tone the latissimus dorsi in the back. And I mean, we're talking, all this is in ounces, 1 or 2 ounces max, and totally changed everything and totally changed all the different awarenesses and the way I feel about myself and about everything when I play with that and engage that. So it's better than it's ever been. And I know that what you said is true, that I've had the session, so I'll probably get more. But I really would like to ask whoever's out there who's up for this while you're reading it and what they feel like before and after. I'd like to know just by the energy that you bring through when you read it, because it's beautiful.
Cool.
It's beautiful.
Sweet.
Well,
let's
I'm going to switch rooms
then.
Again so I can lay down. Okay. I got it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take a restroom break real quick, make sure they don't have to interrupt, and I'll come back and tell you that I laid down. Okay?
Go for it. Okay. And all of a sudden, we heard your voice loud and clear, Patrick. You came through full blast at the last second or two. I don't know what changed, but anyway. Well, then, let's just, while you're doing your restroom intermission, let's just see if there's anybody out there in listener land that has a thought, a question. Maybe there's someone else who has done the quantum still point that has an idea to throw in here before we get into defining exactly what it means. And, Jeannie, maybe we could mute Patrick while he's moving around in the background. And so do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, sweetheart, or anybody in the chat room?
I had received a question, and I didn't show that I had show, so I'm not sure that we actually addressed their question. So I was just trying to find it here.
Okay. Is it a question regarding the quantum still point?
No.
Okay. Probably we don't want to get into another topic at this point, so let's hold that question.
Okay.
Since Patrick had come in first, and so we'll put that question on hold. But if there's anybody out there that has to share a question from what we've spoken of so far, or anybody out there who has done the quantum still point that would like to share or has a question, then the line is open. And if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, the call number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show directly. And then if you push 1, that raises a hand in the control panel. And we'll be having a conversation. So anybody out there in listener land that has a thought for us? And if not, then I'll just share that for those who maybe are new to the show, listening for the first time, we have talked about the quantum still point on a few occasions. And, you know, we haven't done an intensive season since 2019 at Heartland. COVID started, and then with COVID going on, we did not open for a couple of years. And, frankly, the last year or two, it's just been more work than I wanted to do with our obligations here with our granddaughter and such to do an intensive season. So I started to do just very recently this process that I'm describing as quantum still point, and it's a one-on-one personal intensive that happens over a period of 3 days. actually 3 days, or it can be more. We've actually got a gentleman who's flying over from Sweden in about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, and we're going to be taking him through the process. Gentleman who's been to Heartland, who was on the support team way back years ago and has been doing his work all these years, and he's ready to take everything to the next level. So it's an intensive process, and normally what people do is they come here. We're in Bristol, Virginia, so they come here and get a hotel. I work with them in the hotel one-on-one over a period of 3 days. Day of the intensive is basically some energy field work and the breath to smooth out and simply start the opening process, paying attention to where resistance lies. And a big component of the process is becoming aware of resistance and being able to soften into that resistance in order to allow whatever flow is being held back to be restored. And then the third day moves it into the next level, into the quantum still point, which works with bringing the core of the structure into alignment so that there's a full complement of energy that comes through the system. And when that occurs, you know, it's kind of like if you've ever been cleaning off the sidewalk and there's some muck on the sidewalk, and what do? You kink the hose and you let the pressure build up and it flushes out. Well, that kind of extra rush of energy is part of what happens when one steps into the quantum still point and the flush, the energetic flush that happens is all just part of the process. So that's what quantum still point is. And it's a combination, actually some early work that I did very early in my medical training back 50 years ago. And it's a work that is more intense than works to do in a regular intensive situation. You know, if you come to Heartland and there are 30, 40, 50 people there, it's not the kind of work that works in that environment. It's a one-on-one process. And so that's where that process happens, in a private setting. And let's just move into a reading of what that process means. So, awakening to being through quantum still point. So what is that process? And I'd like to actually start out with a quote that when I was doing some research on, for myself, understanding this process, I came across a quote from Carl Jung that to me was just so powerful in looking at the whole of the system. I'd like to start out with that particular idea. And here's what he says. The healer is not just working for a particular patient, but for him, herself, as well as his own soul. And in so doing, he is perhaps laying an infinitesimal grain in the scales of humanity's soul. Small and invisible as his contribution may be, it is yet an opus magnum. And to me, what impacts about that statement is that, and would I ever love to have spent some time in the energy field of Carl Jung? That would have been just awesome. But his grasp, his comprehension of the wholeness of being and how what each of us does in the way of our individual work, how it impacts each and every other person that has ever lived. So in the quantum still point, our practice is that of welcoming an instant of communication and healing through a moment of profound silence brought on by energy field work and the unwinding of the power of the still point breath, both of which contribute to opening doors we may not even have known existed. Now, known in the ancient Aramaic language, Ruka Dukucha, the breath, when we're talking about the still point breath, carries a wisdom from within, a knowing that's always been with you and is literally in Aramaic defined as a feminine elemental force that undoes the effects of your errors and teaches you the truth. So in the process, we're enlisting that feminine elemental force that resides within us. The 3 days is geared to support the participant in gaining a subtle awareness of any form of resistance and developing the skill involved in opening to the deepest still points through willingness and the unreserved release of that resistance, physical, mental, and emotional. And by so doing, creating a reset from within of physiology and mind that is generally considered to be impossible. The objective is to open the space for deep structural and energetic realignment and reorganization brought on by the freeing, if only for an instant, the mind, which results in deep silence. Mystics and yogis spend years in an attempt to experience this level of relief from the mind and develop this level of internal awareness. Nobel Prize winner Max Planck said, "In all my research, I have never come across matter. To me, the term matter implies a bundle of energy which is given form by an intelligent spirit. As a man who's devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you, as a result of my research about atoms, this much. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particles of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." Now, that was written by Max Planck, who's a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, for his discovery of quantum theory. And quantum theory just totally revolutionized the understanding of atomic and subatomic processes. And if it's understood and applied, it revolutionizes the world of healing. You remember when we were talking about the conflict going on in the Middle East, and I shared that one of the first instances that I'm aware of where quantum understanding, quantum theory was applied, it's in the book of Job in the scriptures, where Job goes through all of this trauma and loss and tragedy. And in a flash of insight, which if you read the book, for quite some time he ignores, in a flash of insight, Job recognizes quantum mechanics, and he says, "That which I feared most has come upon me. That which I dreaded has happened to me." That's Max Planck's work. And then, though, Job, if you read through the whole book, Job comes up with that, but he's in such confusion, and there's so many people around him with so much noise and distraction that he doesn't act on or recognize even the insight that has come to him. And then finally, when he expresses what changed and restored everything he'd lost, it happened as a result, he says, as I took back my words. So Job is talking here about looking within, and Carl Jung offers this piece of genius advice. Who looks without, that is perception, dreams, who looks within awakens. Through this sacred journey of quantum still point, trust enters, perception is quelled, and the voice of the past is weakened as physiology moves into a superconductor state that allows the full experience of conscious, active, present love to enter and do the work of transmuting anything unlike itself. This transmutation gives you back the power that has, through blame, been energetically locked up and rendered unavailable because it has been hidden by denial within generations of unresolved, dissociated pain and trauma. Through the dissolution of pain-based energies, the connection to the authentic self and inner wisdom strengthens, which opens a gateway to living in deeper ways from the state of being and in the actuality of creation. Satan, in Aramaic, a state of mind, the resistor, one who misleads. As one's resistance is progressively dismantled, which is what happens through the use of the breath, a higher source than perception, vision becomes available. Rather than being locked into the replicant mind and re-experiencing the miscreations and abuse of one's own unresolved generational patterns and misperceptions, awareness and the experience of self as love opens on a whole new level. The ultimate objective of the quantum still point process is to free oneself from the influence of energetic patterns, often generational, behind the why is this happening to me again experience that overtakes lives regardless of how many defense mechanisms, no matter how brilliantly one tries to hide. The deep sense of safety and support experienced in the process opens the freedom to access on multiple levels what one has attempted to hide, but really has only hidden from themselves. The purpose of life when one lives in deception is to uncover, to expose that deception by kicking us right square in the limitation. That is the reason for all pain and untoward experiences. The deeper the deception, the harder the kick. Nothing is ever truly hidden, but is always seen indirectly in the light of day. It all comes out in the wash. Unconscious dynamics, when the space is safe enough, are suddenly revealed. They become clear and show themselves directly in the mind, where, because of the presence of active love, dissolution, called forgiveness, occurs spontaneously. Loosened through the breath, Rukha Dukkha, there is a release of toxic deposits As energies based in any form of fear and or hostility are accessed, faced, and dissipated. The human energy field is not designed to harbor any form of fear, nor its siblings, pain, suffering, loss, disappointment, or hostility. The energy of love is the very life force that is designed to fuel both body and mind. Misaligned physiology renders proper signaling based in love unavailable as everything else pushes its way out and is, quote-unquote, made known in the light of day. As resistance is reduced and alignment is progressively perfected, there's a proportional increase in life energy flow. And instead of external expression, unconscious dynamics become internally available. And the instant they are correctly perceived, they are spontaneously resolved. Joy is a natural byproduct of this process of release, no matter the depth, the age, the intensity, or cause of the trauma. As the actual energy of love flows freely throughout the body and mind, dissociated memories are loosed. As overlays of both personal and generational patterns of energetic trauma are liberated and flushed out of tissue, the structure is freed of distortions and abnormalities. So-called physical diseases, rather than being treated, are now able to be released at the cause level. The expressions of these changes are called miracles. Working within beliefs, rather than the actuality of what exists, is somewhat like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. The band sounds better, but the ship's still going down. Direct contact with actuality, rather than living through beliefs and perceptual constructs of the mind, removes us from projections of past and future. Review the Max Planck quote that we opened with. Be still and know. Freed from projected mental constructs, being, inspired, incarnates quietly into the mind and body that lets go and is free of negative stress. By entering gently into this quiet space of profound stillness, physiologically induced, and inviting the mind, which causes all minds to be, to bring reorganization and restructuring, as well as sync you with deeper levels of presence, is the cause of wholeness and healing. This is all based Give me just a second here to pull my page back up. So this is all based in the teachings and understanding presented in the ancient Aramaic presentations of the great physician, who was not a miracle worker, but an actual physician. A physician as real in practice as any physician known today. His healing messages were so badly distorted when interpreted by Greek philosophers who called themselves translators, that he, if exposed to their messages today, would say, "That's all Greek to me." The physiological architecture of the human form as an energy system is designed to move continuously through a wide range of structural shapes. Any restriction or alteration in motion means a deprivation, distortion, and or blockage of energy flow. The bony structure of the quote-unquote body in its natural state is literally an intricate, delicately tuned, highly complex, self-adjusting antenna designed to move through a wide range of shapes and capture a similarly broad range of energies. The shape of an antenna determines the frequencies it receives and broadcasts. Physical, mental, and emotional trauma, including things like the birthing process, can compromise or disturb the antenna's proper rhythm, structure, and motion, thus inhibiting energy flow. Since all energy carries information, a loss of, blockage, or change to that information results in challenges. The restoration of proper motion, structure, and flow undoes those acquired dynamic stores, missing information. The blockage I'm referring to generally takes one of two forms. First is the inhibition of access to what the system is designed to receive and function from, hence a loss of guidance, often resulting in dysfunction, emptiness, physiological and psychospiritual disturbances, hopelessness, blocked creativity, and disease. The second type of blockage is the effect of willful denial and dissociation from content that is acquired or held within the system. This results in an unnatural state called the unconscious mind, that which is covered over by the quote-unquote veil of the temple, which over generations results in aberrant emotions and behavior prompts that interfere with cell and organ function, each of which disturbs and destroys lives. In the world, these anomalies mean that the energetic patterns with which we create our lives, the energies which we literally emanate or send out into the world, are distorted. The individual in denial thinks they're sending out one message, which they blame the receiver for misreading. Truth is, life always responds perfectly to the exact unconscious signal sent. And the one in denial tends to be left wondering, why are they doing this to me again? In another quote from Carl Jung, until the unconscious becomes conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. Whatever is rejected from the self appears through blame in the world, called perception, as an event. We meet ourselves and our projections on others time and again in a thousand disguises on the path of life. Everything that appears to irritate us about others can lead to understanding and healing of oneself. Carl Jung, slightly edited. The principal actions at the core of the quantum still point are the mobilization of the structure and the freeing of restrictions, which restores the integrity of its movement as the still point breath melts and dissolves blocks and disintegrative energies as they surface. Forgiving inhibiting energies and restoring the full range of motion at the core of the structure facilitates reception of proper signals and operative energies that are interchanged with that in which we quote-unquote live, move, and have our being. This process also cleans up energetic patterns, the instruction sets we are continuously sending out to the world. With punishment, attack, trauma and defense dissolved, forgiven, the inevitable and natural shift in others as they respond to the new energetic instructions extended, which now match conscious intentions and goals, is usually called a miracle. Internally, that looks like, I did this work inside of me and they changed. What in fact has happened is that having resolved an internal dissociated conflict, one no longer sends out inconsistent messages to the world. The mystic's journey is completed. The ultimate result of the liberation of generationally acquired incoherent energies of the past, despair, violence, suffering, pain, and death, gives rise to a host of new skills, including the ability to be the presence of love and compassion in all circumstances. Love has incarnated in the manger of form. Creature and creator become at one. The sweet space of quietness and serenity then extends to all unquiet minds and brings an instant of stillness where the awareness of the eternal presence of love has an opportunity to return. Remembering is quiet now. So I join you in breathing and allowing whatever that resonates for you to move through you. And let's see if Patrick was able to stay with us. Patrick, are you there?
I'm here.
You're there. You made it all the way through? Awesome.
Yeah, well, I did. I thought today, unlike the other two times, I was wired out and tried to get something to eat before I did this. And so I'm busy listening. But, and then I lay down, and then I go, okay, relax. And you know what? I felt like nothing happened until you said something, I don't know, I passed out again. At the very end, it was like instantaneous. I have no idea why I went, you know. But
still point.
When you made an announcement, so yeah, I went off. I'm gone. And I came back about the time you made the announcement. It wasn't very long. It didn't take very long, but it's nice. Anyway, so let's see, I'm making an effort
so
to be excited because it's difficult to talk now. Here's the real me.
Yeah. Were you aware of what was moving when you went into that still point?
Not at all. I don't know. What I
no.
do know
okay.
is that all the way through, the other times I listened to the tones of your voice, the energy coming through, and I noticed that there was a change this time where you were making more of a presentation, more neutral beingness. And then I think I know what it was. At the end, I noticed the voice tones were more flowing and, you know, within the context of flowing poetry and love. And that, like, got me. I think that's what got me. So anyway, all my busy, do, just let go. Which reminds me, there was something I was thinking along the way that was important, and that was that you would say that we've built an association over the last 50 years, but I would say that I was called a hard shell, and I've only been letting go of it recently. Hard shell, soft core. So I protected myself by being tight, stiff, hard on the external.
Right.
And but when you started the still point, I did something by imagination or by creativity or by guidance. I would say my guidance was just to unzip the bag around me. Now that, and I'm going to say something weird about that in a minute, but when I unzipped it, what I was saying was, I'm willing to go through this, something I never mentioned. I'm willing to give myself over to Michael totally, and even if I get injured through this, you know, or hurt or jammed up in any way, shape, or form, it's okay, I'll heal. It's not going to be a big deal. You know, so I was saying to myself in my language, I'm totally letting go. I'm willing, very important. I'm letting go of all defense mechanisms, which is what holds the junk. You know, the fear of letting go of the belief systems that are protecting you, they're the belief systems that are screwing you up. It's like, what? So I did that, and I think that's very important.
It's the core.
That I just totally gave myself over.
Yeah, mind plays this game up. I got to figure it out. And the fact is that the dynamics are so huge and the project is so monumental that there's no such thing as even getting close to figuring it out. And that's where that one thought comes. And to me, one of the main objectives of the quantum still point is to inspire the mind to, as I said in the reading, at least for an instant to let go. And I believe what's happening there, my best understanding at this point of what's happening there is that we have this created energy system that was created in total perfection as a vehicle and instrument for love. And then it was turned over to us. You know, you could almost imagine the moment in which the Creator says, okay, this is it. This is my highest expression. So now I'm going to go inside and I'm going to just become obedient. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Ask and you'll receive. You know, you listen in the ancient scriptures and it says, here's the Creator talking to it, says, of the works of my hands command ye me. The Creator's telling us, tell me what you want and I'll bring it to you. And I believe that that's an absolute on the part of the Creator, and it doesn't matter what it is we ask for, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Creator has no choice now. The Creator has said, I will follow your direction. And when we come into this form, the perfect is already there, and then we've got what science is starting to refer to as epigenetics. And my take at this point in understanding is that epigenetics is literally all of the instruction sets that have been given through all time in our bloodline, and they are held in place by what the ancient scriptures refer to as the mind of man. If you remember the passage in where Yeshua is outside the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter has got the sword and he's going after the high priest servant, and Yeshua addresses Peter there directly as Satan. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. And then he defines what he means by it. He says, for you think in the mind of man rather than the plan of God. And what science is now calling epigenetics, I've come to understand, is that set of programming that has been passed on through the generations, and it's held in place by the mind of man. And to me, the single objective, and this is the quantum still point, is to get the mind to let go. And that's where everything shifts. Does that fit with your experience? That's where the pelvic tilt changed.
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Hello. So it's kind of right now, it's similar to the other two times that I listened, but it was earlier on that I got, let's see if I can speak without the effort. Anyway, it's almost like I'm just peaceful being where I'm at, but I'm making an effort to speak, but I don't, you know, only because it'll help other people or complete what we're doing. I listen to what you say and I have reactions, but I'm so relaxed.
Easier to
really
just
need
stay
to
there.
Yeah,
I got it.
Just wanna.
I got it. Yay. That's the objective.
So it's kind of, you know, like I have a mind and I can speak, but my preference is that let go and don't have a mind and don't speak and don't do anything. Just let go.
I'm with you. Yep. Yeah, it's, that's the space to I think that we are designed to inhabit. That's the quantum still point. Sweet. Well, Patrick, thank you for this conversation. Our show has already announced in my ear that our time is up, so it's going to cut us off any second. But thank you for that, and it's nice to have this now recorded. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and do exactly what you did. I'm going to go and breathe into it and just listen to it myself now. So thank you for that suggestion.
You're welcome.
All right, my friend. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. I cherish you. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I cherish you. Bye-bye.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Breathable organic cotton and moisture-wicking Joma wool consistently provide cool and comfortable slumber. Every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.